Morning, folks.
Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got a nice hearty bunch across the way from me. We've got folks from the Wayne County Soil and Water Conservation District, as well as from not just Wayne County, but all district-wide and worldwide when it comes to Charles. Actually, Charles is trying to get out of everything. Charles is trying not to do anything. We've got folks from Wayne County Soil and Water Conservation District. Jenny Tannehill's their administrative coordinator. Jenny, good morning. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Jenny, we'll be talking mainly about what's going on with the fish and tree sales.
Mainly the fish and tree sale, but we do have a few other things that we do as well. So,
yeah, also along with her, beside her, is Gary Zwilling. Good morning, Gary. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I am outstanding. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. You had to come a long distance this morning, didn't you?
Well, actually, yeah, through Olney, I guess. But
you live up in Lawrenceville?
Actually, I live in Richland County.
So, oh, okay.
So I was able to start from Olney this morning, but my actual office is there in Lawrenceville.
You're the district conservationist.
Yes, a change occurred there in the first part of December for all of us, and I became the district conservationist for the five counties of Lawrence, Wabash, Edwards, Wayne, and Richland counties.
That's a lot of square miles.
That is, because especially Wayne itself is a pretty large geographic area.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Next to you is the former, I guess, district conservationist, right? Good morning, Charles. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Glad you came in. I haven't talked to you for years. Charles, basically, Gary and Jenny, for your information, Charles helped us put together a forestry plan. Probably, how long ago was that, Charles?
I think that was about 7 years ago now, so it's been a little while.
So have you been out to check up on me to make sure that it's working correctly?
I have not.
Let's keep it that way.
I agree.
That sounds like a good plan to me. I like that a lot. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, all kinds of issues facing farmers and landowners today, and how that the NRCS and the Soil and Water Conservation District can help the general public work through the dealing with the federal government. Let's talk first about the fun thing, though.
Okay.
You're selling trees.
We are.
I had a tree, by the way. I had a tree fall on my house Wednesday.
Okay, that wasn't my tree.
I'm not blaming you. But what I'm saying is, I guess you're selling some oaks too, right? I mean, this was an oak that fell on my house, so somebody eventually could have their house landed on by what you're selling today.
Well, the largest tree that we're selling is only 24 inches tall, so after it grows up, it's not my tree anymore.
It's not your problem. Okay, I got it. Let's talk about the tree sale. Tell me what's going on with the tree sale. When does that start?
We have started it already. We have order forms available at the office, or you can just call me.
Where's your office here in Fairfield?
It is right behind Frontier Community College in the USDA building. Uh-huh. It's off to the left side whenever you walk in the front door. We partner with NRCS in that office, and FSA is on the other side. So,
you know what a lot of folks may not understand, Jenny, when we have these, we've talked about tree sales and fish sales over the past several years. You don't have to be a farmer to go in there and buy these trees, do you?
Not at all. A lot of people use them in their yards just for decoration. Some people use them as windbreaks for their homes or their buildings to kind of help prevent from some of the winter weather and the wind. It does help save on your electricity bills and things like that.
Mm-hmm. The sale has started. What do you say folks need to go in? What are you selling? What are you offering? What kinds of trees this year?
We have white pine, blue spruce, Norway spruce, red maples, tulip poplars, and those are really pretty.
All right, tell me about the tulip poplars. I've always kind of been against tulip poplars.
Well, they will grow into a bush if you don't take care of
them. Oh, okay. Yeah, how much care do you have to? They're not something you just set out there and look at.
Yeah, no, you can't just set it out there and look at it. It kind of will grow into a bush if you don't pay attention to it, and then it gets kind of scraggly, and you have to actually prune it. I think you start in the third year, and then it will flower out pretty for you, and you can actually prune it down into just one nice long stem,
yeah,
and it will actually grow into just a tree instead of a big bush that way.
The folks that are buying these trees, if you get these, like, for instance, the tulip poplar.
Uh-huh.
If you're getting a tulip poplar whenever they're delivered to you,
uh-huh,
if you get one of those, how big a tree are we talking about? What's the...
On the poplars, they're 18 to 24 inches,
oh, that's
somewhere in that. They're a decent size seedling, and then the pines, we do a four-year transplant on them, and usually they're about 18 inches tall on the pine.
What's the most popular tree that you'll run into? I mean, in this area, I'm guessing maple, if I had to guess one. But
on the hardwood trees, we do a lot of the maple. In general, people want the spruces for the windbreaks.
Really?
Yep. So I sell a lot of the blue spruce and Norway spruce just because they do make a really good windbreak.
What do you sell the most of?
Probably the Colorado blue spruce, because
really?
They have a kind of a blue hue to them once they get older, and they're really pretty.
How big are those to start out? Because and the reason I ask, Charles would know this, because I've bought trees out there before, and I'm a notorious tree killer. I am just terrible planting trees. How tall are the trees, the spruces that you're...
The spruces are a four-year transplant. They're about 18 inches tall.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Uh-huh. For a pine-type tree, that's... you know, a good size to start off with.
Charles, for somebody who's putting a tree like that in, for somebody who's planting a tree like that, what kind of care do you have to take, special care to keep it away from deer, or is there any special care you have to take with something like that?
In this part of the country, yeah, deer are pretty hard on some of these spruce trees. They like to chew them off when they're small like that.
Yeah.
And then even once they get, you know...
So do they sit on my porch with a shotgun, or what do I do?
Well, there's a lot of different homemade remedies. You know, some people hang soap on them to give a human scent to keep the deer away. Some people put hair around them. There's different concoctions you can buy at different stores.
And for that matter, they aren't that expensive, Jenny. Somebody could always buy more trees.
Exactly. We do on all the pine and spruces, it's 10 trees for $20.
Oh, wow. That's easy.
Yep. And then all the hardwoods are 5 trees for $7.50. So if you want to just make a nice little area in your yard and put a nice shade tree area in, you can get 5 trees to start off, and you can always come back next year and get more.
Jenny, what's typical? Can somebody come out and I know you occasionally get extra trees at the end of the sale, right?
Sometimes
you have extra trees. So if somebody, you really urge folks to order them now, don't you?
Yes. A lot of times we will run out of stock completely.
Really?
Because we have a special place in Michigan that we actually get the trees from. So we order a few extra usually, but once we run out, that's the end of it. If we're out of trees, we can't sell anymore. So orders in as soon as possible.
what's the drop dead date on the tree sale?
We're going to accept orders until March 25th. We may take them a couple days after that, but they're going to be delivered the week of the 4th. So if you want to actually get it in where we can still order it, it's got to be in by March 25th.
Charles, I'll ask you again, since you're retired now, and you may as well try to do something that keeps you busy.
That is good.
April's the perfect time for planting those trees, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much really any month with an R in it is kind of the old saying with that.
Get it in before May.
Mm-hmm.
How much watering do folks need to do with some of these trees they're going to be planting?
It depends a lot on the rainfall that we get naturally, but you should, you know, if you get an inch of rain a week is what you would expect for a new planted tree like that. So if you don't get that, you need to supplement.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's a good rule of thumb there. All right, Jenny, you want to talk about fish?
Of course.
Tell me about the fish sale. What's the most popular fish?
Oh, okay. Well, the catfish are pretty popular this time of year. And bass, of course. We have largemouth bass in two different sizes. And then we have the bags of the smaller fish, and those seem to be fairly popular as well. They're really good for kids. So if you have grandkids or children and you're stocking your pond, the red ear, the crappie, those are really fun for kids to catch, and they're fairly easy to catch.
How big will they get? I guess it depends on the size of the pond.
It depends on the size of the pond. The bigger the pond, of course, the larger they're going to get, depending on what other fish you have in there. Bass are predator fish.
Uh-huh.
So if you're stocking small fish in with already mature bass.
That's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. It sounds like a rough plan on somebody's part.
But
it's going to be a bad time for the little bag fish, isn't it?
Yes. But a lot of times people will buy minnows to kind of supplement to help prevent all the small fish from being eaten. So if you already have bass.
Or to train the bass to actually kill.
Well, that too.
So you're training your bass to actually rip somebody's arm off eventually. You're looking for the Austin Powers, the very angry bass.
They do not have lasers.
They don't have lasers. Darn it. That was my next question. If we could get bass with lasers. All right. Give me the other kinds of fish the folks are. What is available?
We have three different kinds of channel catfish, an albino channel cat as well, two sizes of the bass, minnows, crappie, sunfish, bluegill, red ear, and grass carp. Grass carp orders are due by March 2nd, though, uh-huh. because we do have to fill out special
That's
paperwork.
Wednesday.
Yes, we have to fill out special paperwork for them
uh-huh.
because they are a non-invasive species as okay. of now. But if they would ever happen to develop to where they could reproduce, it could be a problem. So we do have to have those earlier than the rest of the
Why would somebody want albino cats?
Albino cats are pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. Is it like a koi or something like that? I mean,
No, it's not really like a koi fish. It's just a catfish, but it's white. And they breed really pretty with the other catfish. Yeah, I just think they're pretty.
No kidding. I never really considered an albino catfish it seems like a defect as opposed to something someone would seek out.
Yeah, I just think they're pretty. So I think a lot of people do stalk them because of their uniqueness.
Well, that's pretty cool. I'm talking to Jenny Tannehill along with Gary Zwilling and Charles Tremble from the Wayne County Soil and Water Conservation District. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about all kinds of other stuff. I'm going to find Gary. I will talk to you eventually.
That's good. I know my stuff may be drier. So I know they just can't wait.
We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW FM after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you all tuning in this morning. My guests this morning are Jenny Tannehill. She's the administrative coordinator out there at the Wayne County Soil and Water Conservation District. Also got Gary Zwilling. He's the district conservationist. And Charles Tremble, the soil conservationist. And we're talking about all kinds of things affecting farmers and landowners. And why right now is the time to kind of think about these kind of things affecting farmers and landowners. Gary, the show is yours. What do you want me to ask you today? Say I'm a landowner, which I'm a land manager. And we do have farm insurance. We have crop insurance. what do I want to make sure that I don't do? Can I go out and like start growing weed or something on my? Or you don't cover that, do you?
I won't cover that. I'll let that to the State Department of Ag. Okay.
All right. I just wondered.
So, wonder. That's good to clarify that. Okay. So, yes, yeah, exactly.
Just entirely hypothetical.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What's going on with the crop insurance, and what do folks need to know?
Yeah, and really that's why I was invited here today, was to cover that and make sure that folks stay in compliance with USDA and their conservation plans, and that they follow not only for highly erodible lands, that they have a conservation plan, that they're controlling erosion on their farms, but also the wetland conversion side of things. I think many times people forget about there's a tie to both of those.
Uh-huh.
And the wetland, making sure we don't bring any wetlands or any of those things into production and produce a crop on those. That's what we want to prevent that happening, because then if something like this happens, if they're not in compliance with the highly erodible lands or the wetland conversion, then their USDA benefits are jeopardized.
Right.
Yeah, and those can include everything from farm facility loans to crop insurance to other loans that are taken out with the USDA. So it kind of encompasses a lot of things. So it's got a little more, since the 2014 Farm Bill, it has a little more teeth in it.
Why did Congress think they needed to put more teeth in it? What were they seeing as a necessity there?
Well, I think because part of those premiums were assisted by or paid for, yeah, partly, so they thought we need to receive a little more things from the landowner side, producer side,
right,
in commitment to that. So not that good stuff wasn't done in compliance with all the other programs, but just brought it to a different level.
Yeah. I don't know if it was under your purview, but what you're talking about kind of reminds me of what Fairfield is having to do with the city of Fairfield when they had the wetlands, the lake they were trying to form out there, and now they're planting trees down south to make up for that. Is that kind of similar? Is that the area what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, I'm not aware of that, but maybe Charles does. But I'm saying mostly we work with private landowners and those producers. So they have to be a USDA participant.
Okay.
With us. So they have to be registered with the United States Department of Agriculture, and I should have explained USDA, I guess, in that part. So
Charles, were you wanting to add something there, too?
Well, yeah, that is similar, Bruce, where the city of Fairfield did, basically, they got in trouble with Corps of Engineers.
And that's what
we're here to help.
You're helping work through that, right?
Through those situations with the private landowners. So they don't get into trouble initially, but if they do, then we can mitigate to a new site if they still need to farm that area that they did clean up.
Well, yeah, so. Now and that's now in litigation and all kinds of stuff, too, with the private landowner down south of town. So that just seems like an incredible mess going on right now, Charles. Is that the way to put it? It's a mess?
Well, I would say that's probably a pretty fair assessment. It is, like you said, it's in litigation, so it's kind of out of our hands at this point as far as any kind of help that we can really provide at this point.
Gary, tell me a little bit about the how the technical assistance and who your clients are.
Right. And we say that very casually many times, we provide technical assistance. And what that really means is some of the science information on and how our agency with engineers, biologists help deal with erosion and improve wildlife and put conservation practices that save the soil and keep the water clean. So it can fall under all ranges of stuff like that.
In particular, okay. What do you do to save the soil? For say, if I'm a landowner out there, and I'll just use my land. We've got a runoff in the middle of our field that's pretty erodible. It's eroding pretty good. I know you, we've had suggestions, and we've done it. We plant fescue in there too, but you kind of help guide us on how to do that.
Exactly. We come and actually inventory the property. That's kind of one of the big things we do at first. We come, look, if you call in, say, I've got this problem or situation, we come out with our engineers, with our technical staffs, that, soil conservation technicians. We have different categories of disciplines in the agency, and we come out and analyze, look at the inventory, take note of how it appears, that even the depth, width, and all those kind of things, and then we formulate alternatives or potential solutions. You could use maybe a grass waterway, or maybe it could be a terrace and what we call WASCOB system, but a lot of folks call them dry dams with an underground outlet. Could just be a place, as you said, even minimal amount is placing just some grass and fescue in any concentrated area for a critical area. So we have lots of solutions to those erosion problems.
Gary, what starts that process? I mean, is it something the landowner themselves have to see and see the need, or is it something that you guys will see, or is maybe a neighbor or something? What starts that process?
Really, we like to see the actual private landowner themselves. The individual notices they have a problem, and they request our assistance. That's the best way to do it. Exactly. So, and most folks do. If people have good open communication with their offices, they come in and notify us, hey, I've got a problem. I just can't get this fixed. I've tried to do this, this, and this, and it didn't do it. Now I'd like to, you know, involve your expertise for that.
So, what's the biggest problem you've seen when it comes to something like this? Some kind of like a large eroding area that you just had to get into very quickly and repair.
Right, and a lot of times we see things that the slope of the land can really dictate how serious and how deep some of the erosion is, and the amount of water coming off a place, you know, and that's really what we're trying to manage. In our agency, we account for the runoff acres of any situation. When we know the runoff acres, then we're able to design and figure out a practice that will contain, release, or, you know, release slowly or safely to another outlet.
The typical farm field is, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 160 acres, or maybe even bigger. Maybe there are some out there that are probably mile by a mile, you know, square mile fields or bigger. The principles, basically, though, Gary, are all the same, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah, whether it's a 20-acre field or whether it's 160 acres or whatever, the solutions, I guess, if you will, our conservation practices or our solutions to resource concerns, and that's why we have a whole gambit of those in the toolbox, whether it's under specific programs or a specific practice. We have a long list of those things that address resource concerns, everything from soil erosion to water quality all the way to wildlife and forestry. So
tell me about the wildlife part of it. I mean, what conservation of wildlife do you, I guess, other than not letting areas be hunted or trying to get areas hunted?
Well, actually, we try to improve the habitat for them. So
really?
that may mean a place for more cover. It may be a place for water. It may be a place for food. You know, all the things that we as humans need, food, water, plants, shelter, it kind of applies to them. So if we can do that or provide an incentive through a program, that's what we like to do.
Do you help now? You're in the five counties, and you live in the Richland County. Do you have? I gotta ask a specific question. Are you helping to keep the white squirrels around?
Well, yes.
That's what I'm wondering. Exactly, what are you doing? What is currently being done by, say, the city of Olney, I presume, to propagate the white squirrels?
Well, I know they do actually take an inventory each year and try to make that count and everything. Take the squirrel count, so they try to keep account of that. But for those individuals that drive through the town, just I make sure I stop when that white squirrel crosses the road. And that's really important to do.
Well, yeah.
so that's one more that survives. So,
what's the count up there? Do you pay any attention to it? I haven't heard anything lately.
I haven't heard anything.
You live in Olney. Come on.
No, actually, I live in the country. Oh, okay. In Richmond, and so I'm more into the rural area, too. So
I'm putting you on the spot. Sorry about that. What would be the key thing right now? It's February going into March. What's the key thing right now that a landowner, a farmer, a crop share farmer, something like that, needs to keep an eye out for?
Okay, well, a reminder to, you know, doing that. If you're going to bring any new land in production, if you're going to be tiling any of those lands, and if there's any thought of clearing any trees, we need to make sure we file official form with the – actually, it's filed with the Farm Service Agency, our sister agency within the USDA building there. Then we, as the agency, provide the technical analysis, whether it's a highly erodible lands or wetland or whatever. But I know they're coming in to sign up next door for various programs over there.
Sure.
But we actually have one with the Conservation Stewardship Program. It's available till the end of March that we'd like folks to consider, too. And it kind of covers...
Give me that again.
The Conservation Stewardship Program.
Uh-huh.
And it covers a wide array. It's a little different than our erosion aspect programs we've had in the past, where we actually are trying to accentuate folks that have been good stewards and now want to do things a few more things better. So,
how long have you been in this position? Not in the current position. How long have you been in the Soil and Water Conservation Agency?
Actually, my roots went back to 1991. So.
Well, that's
and I was where Jenny was at one time.
The reason I asked the question. You think I'm just asking you to know how old you are, Gary?
No, you already figured that out.
I already know that. He's older than me. But no, the reason I'm asking is I wonder over the past 25 years you've been in it. Do you see a lot of changes? Do you see the over the course of time, farmers and landowners becoming more and more more of a conservation minded group, or do you see folks still just kind of going willy nilly and letting the land go, and they're going to sell it to somebody else later on? It's no problem, no skin off their back.
No, it's been somewhat a change for some, and so many times we're in the information education stage, and I know we kind of discussed that before, Charles and I did. We're going through kind of another generation. It's been 25, 30 years since the first Farm Bill, so some of those folks who came in with us and signed up, a lot of those producers are now getting along in age and maybe thinking about retiring. We got a changing of the guard, so initially a lot of things had to be talked about to get them on board, and but conservation programs have evolved and developed to more address more concerns that are typical of today, and it's on the economic side as well. But we still have some, I'll say, mishaps, I guess,
well,
as
sure.
we go along. So I'm not going to deny that we don't, because there'll be somebody say, "Well, I just didn't realize I couldn't do that."
Well, see, now that's to me. You said something a little bit ago that caught in my head. Clearing.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, it's my forest, it's my woods. Why can't I just go in there and clear out?
Yeah, and that's the many times that we hear, and that's right. And so the tie comes back to your participation with USDA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why we
Well, and for that matter, Charles, you can address this probably more locally than Gary can. It just makes sense to get a forester in there to see, he'll be able to tell you maybe which trees to cut down, which ones to leave, and where how you're going to get a more healthy stand, right?
That is right. We do have some different programs out there with the Environmental Quality Incentive Program. One of those is helping producers write a forest management plan where they can get an inventory of their forest land out there and know what stages that the trees are at and if they're ready for a harvest or maybe need some management to get them to a harvest.
How difficult is that to what kind of time frame does that take?
Well, we accept applications on that year-round, but we generally have application cutoffs where we rank the ones that are in the funding pool at that
uh-huh.
time. So
uh-huh.
We're kind of past that, the first couple of cutoffs, so we'll see what kind of money's left over after that.
But somebody could still come out if somebody's listening right now and think, I've got this little five-acre stand I'd kind of like to have taken a look
mm-hmm.
at. They could still come out, contact you, and figure something out, right?
That is correct. We can get them on the list, and if they don't get funded this year, they'll be deferred to the following year and stay in the application pool for the first cutoff of the following year.
Is there a phone number, Jenny, that folks can get a hold of you with?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me or Charlie at the Fairfield office, again, behind Frontier at the USDA building. The phone number is 842-7602. And if you just dial extension 3, that'll go direct to me or Charlie. It'll ring into our office directly.
Oh, so 842-7602 comes into the whole building, huh?
Yeah, it'll come into the whole building, but extension 3, if you just push 3, it'll take you over to our side, the NRCS SWCD side.
I'm talking with, that was Jenny Tannehill. She's the administrative coordinator out there at Wayne County Soil and Water Conservation District. Gary's Willing is here in the center. We're going to talk Illini basketball eventually. Or maybe not.
Yeah, after last night, maybe not.
Charlie Tribble sitting over there as well. We're on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. We'll be back after these. morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guests across the way are from the Wayne County Soil and Water Conservation District, as well as the Five County Soil and Water Conservation District. Jenny Tannehill, she's the administrative coordinator, along with Gary Zwilling, the district conservationist, and Charles Trimble. Charlie's the soil conservationist. And Jenny, a lot of folks probably don't realize just exactly how much soil and water conservation does in the area, do they?
That's very true, especially our current governor, who is causing some funding issues for our areas.
He's causing that for everybody.
And I think it's kind of statewide, yeah. So we're trying to come up with ways to kind of keep ourselves going as well. But, you know, any support we can get is definitely appreciated. We do a lot of programs. We do partner with several areas of the government. The NRCS, of course, is people that we work with. FSA as well. U of I Extension Office, we do work with them some. Obviously, IDNR, we do work, you know, with Dave Johnson sometimes, our local IDNR forester.
Dave's still around?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good grief. Dave did my original forestry plan like 30 years ago or something, like 20 years ago anyway.
Yeah, we do work
I thought he was 700 years old then.
I'm no,
like teasing.
He's
it's
fine.
A joke. It's a joke. I don't need Dave introducing the ash borer into my
head. Oh yeah, we don't want that. We do lots of programs to help with local knowledge, especially with the students. We work. We start out in third grade classes. We do Arbor Day for all the schools in the county.
Tell me what you do. What do you do for Arbor Day with all the schools?
At the end of April during...
And how can you do that for all the schools since it's one day and there's all kinds of schools?
Well, what we do is we will schedule different dates with the teachers that work out with them. Last year we did a coloring contest and we gave out little gift cards for Walmart for the kids that won. And we also give all the children a tree. It's usually a white pine tree that they can plant for themselves. It's usually a seedling, so it's a little bit smaller so that they can carry it in their backpack. But we also give them education on how to plant it, why we have trees here, what we need to do to help conserve the trees, things like that.
Do you have any stories from the kids that – like from years ago that have planted trees and they still have some in their yard or something?
Well,
like
actually,
that?
I have one in my yard. Whenever the Soil and Water District, 15, 20 years, we're not going to say how many years ago, but a few years ago. Yeah, a few years ago when I was in third grade, I still have trees in my yard from that, and so do my brothers. We planted them out in the driveway, and we've got a couple there by the house, and they're alive and well, still doing well.
Actually, a few years ago, my niece got one as well, and she planted it out in Wayne City it was a cedar at the time. I don't know if they occasionally vary what they give out, and we still have this cedar. It's now 6-8 feet tall now.
Yeah, we've had better results with the pines. They tend to hold up a little bit better to younger children. So
right. That makes sense too.
But we've planted different things throughout the years. I've only been with the district for about a year and a half now, so it's kind of all new to me. But I grew up on a farm in northern Wayne County, and so you know I've had a lot of these experiences myself. Another thing that we do, we move up to the sixth grade classes, and we work with them on Sam Dell Lake Conservation Days. We do a Conservation Jeopardy game and go through different information. You know,
you're going to go to each class?
Actually, we have them all out to Sam Dell Lake.
Oh, really?
We work with the U of I Extension Office, Yvette out there, and she is getting that ready for the 26th and 27th of April. And
Ray Fisher still working for? Or is he retired now?
I think he retired last year or the year before. I think that Steve Liston on our board actually replaced him, and I believe he's doing it again this year.
I was going to say Steve would probably be a pretty good teacher when it comes to that kind of thing, wouldn't he?
Yes, he is amazing to work with. Yeah. He is really good. He's also helping on the Atkinson Forest Project as well. So
how do you know anything about the Atkinson Forest Project?
I know very little. They haven't gone through a lot of detail. Charlie has been working with them as well on some of the engineering facets of that.
I'm going to ask you about that here in a minute then, Charlie. We'll go ahead and finish what the Soil and Water Conservation is doing, because I know you've got scholarships to talk about too.
Yes. We do Illinois Envirothon for the high schoolers, and that's all of the high school grades that are involved with FFA and the science students, and of course it's FFA week, so we want to give a shout out out to all of our FFA teachers and say we can't wait to see you on March 10th for the Envirothon over at Mount Vernon. We've got a team from Wayne City, two from Fairfield, and two from Sisney. They're teams of five that
really
compete with a lot of the other local area students. I know there's some schools from Jefferson County and like Sandoval area, and they compete against each other to see who knows the most about soil and water conservation.
No kidding. So what kind of questions do you get? Do you know?
Well, they do different questions every year. There's five categories. There's always a bonus category. Most of it is about soil, water, fish, conservation. This year, the fifth category is going to be on invasive species. And, of course, we have some of them here locally.
So that's when you say, that's when you ask the question, is it okay to put a piranha in?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever gotten asked that question, but no. Don't
I'm assuming that's no, right?
Yeah, no. Don't put a piranha in your
okay.
mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But we also do scholarships as well for the high schoolers.
Talk a little bit about the scholarship.
We do three $500 scholarships every year. We've actually already voted on them for this school year, but we will be doing them again next year as long as we have funding available, depending on how the state goes here with the budget. But we do a $500 scholarship for Sisney, a $500 for Wayne City, and $500 for Fairfield.
Oh, so each school is going to get one.
Each school is
student
given,
at each school.
Yeah, each school, a senior student is given a $500 scholarship depending on what they've written on.
You know, and it's never too early for juniors to start thinking about this, is it?
No, never at all. And, you know, I know the guidance counselors do try to, you know, promote us and get them out there, but we had a little bit of a lower turnout this year. So we just really want to let everybody know that really does help with, like, books or, you know, travel expenses. It's
maybe
not
we just
restricted.
Had, maybe we just had dumber kids.
Oh, no. They were very good. The reports that we did get in
were
very
good.
That was a
joke, guys. Come on. That's a joke.
Laugh.
You're supposed to laugh at that.
No, actually, our winners for this year at Sisney was Nicholas Konopasek.
Okay.
At Fairfield was Mercedes Grody, and I actually, you had her on the
yeah,
radio.
She was on Monday.
Yep, for the FFA day. So.
Did a great job.
And then Deanna Reed over at Wayne City was our winner. And they all did conservation essay for us, and those were the three that we picked for this year. The board votes on that at our meeting in January. So,
see that's the kind of thing that folks don't realize that the conservation that you guys offer, the Soil and Conservation District offers.
Yeah, there are lots of things that we do, not just for the children, but we offer a lot of services to the local farmers as well.
Yeah.
We have a Great Plains drill that we do rentals on. It really helps whenever it comes time to plant like a grass waterway or one of these systems like a quail strip or something like that. That's provided, you know, the technical assistance is provided by NRCS. They get cost share from FSA.
Oh, okay.
And the Soil and Water District helps with the seed and with the
well, that's handy.
So we're all kind of in the same office, but we all try to do what we can to help each other and to promote good conservation practices. We also have a root plow. It helps remove roots from around the edges of fields to help prevent from moisture being taken away from their crops.
Now, would the drill or the plow be better for me? I've got to move my satellite dish over to the other side of the driveway.
Well, I don't know if we have anything that can help with
that.
But you know, I'm sure somebody
called Julie there.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will help you. Yeah, but yeah, I don't think we have appropriate.
Oh,
well,
that's too
that.
Bad. That's too bad.
We do have a tree planter though, so once you
well,
get it moved, we can help
all
you
right,
plant some
well,
trees.
I'm ready for that.
And then we have a fabric plow as well for people wanting to do the grass waterways. We sell the filter fabric, and we also have a fabric plow to help them put it into the ground.
And if folks have any questions on this kind of thing, they need to get a hold of you at 842-7602.
Yep, we have all these services available. We have filter fabric, erosion blankets, and straw blankets for sale, and marking flags as well to help with these.
That's people. Wonderful. Thanks very much, Jenny. I got to know, Charlie, before I can let you guys out of here, I got to know how the Atkinson Forest is going.
The Atkinson Forest Project, we've been working on that a little bit. You know, generally we work with private landowners and operators, but we do occasionally work with cities and on projects of a grander scale like this.
That's a big deal.
That's right. And it's a long-term plan. We've just finished up with our initial planning and two or three different designs for the water bodies out there and some where the trails should go and that sort of thing. And so it's back in the planning committee's lap to decide what they want to do before we proceed much further.
Were there any trails out there to start with? It seems like when I would talk to people who've actually walked through the thing, because it's closed, it seems like when you talk to people who've walked through it that there were the original trails that need cut out.
Right, yeah, there's still some remnants of the trails there, and some of them are a little better than others, a little bit of grass, but there's nothing maintained.
So do we have large big cats out there?
I don't know about that. I didn't see any.
You didn't see
it? So that was good.
I bet you that was good. you think folks can get a hold of you at the same number, can't they, Charlie?
That is correct. Yeah, we'd be glad to talk to him.
Well, guys, I certainly appreciate it. Gary, do you have anything else you needed to talk about?
No, thank you for the time to at least discuss that stuff. And if any questions locally, Charles is a contact. But my office is still in Lawrenceville, but I do encompass this area. So.
Well, Gary, thanks very much for coming out. Jenny, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. And Charlie, wonderful job. I appreciate you guys coming out. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to y'all again Monday. Have a great weekend.